Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 391, She-Rawr. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva, and I still exist.
Yay! Welcome back, Shiva. So we are here back at her place recording this week after her month plus of family obligations and or just stuff happening. So we have not heard from her for a while, but she is still here, we promise. She's right there, like 8 feet away from me, fiddling with her phone, and that's fine.
I was muting it.
So yeah, it has been yet another week here in the hellscape we call North Texas. We have not yet died from the heat, though it's trying. It's trying. My car's temp gauge showed 114 earlier today.
Ah, mine said 116.
Nice.
Woo!
High score!
High score!
What about you, Shiva?
Fuck. I didn't look.
It's been so bad that Adam will just, he goes outside, does his business, and then immediately goes back to the house.
No, like, lingering.
He steps outside, looks at the sky, blinks, and looks at me like, do I have to? And
like, what is this shit?
You were the one that asking me to go out, dog. You were the one coming up and like bapping at my legs saying, I need to go out, Dad.
You like, you'd like, be in the air conditioning all day if you could.
He has not yet learned to use the toilet, so yes, he has to go outside.
Yeah, he's a smart little dog, but I don't think he's that talented. So how have you been, Shiva? We have not seen a lot of you recently.
No, it was a lot of like several weeks of minding the niece. And then I'd say I was sick last week, or at least just not feeling great.
And the week before that was Anthrocon,
where
we missed because Saverin was out there.
That's right. You are nothing without me. Ah! No.
Shiva and I could have recorded, I guess, because the iPod is here. So how was your niece?
I think she had a good time. I spent way too much money and I ran way too many places. By the time she was done, I was ready for a couple of quiet weekends of go nowhere, do nothing. So
yeah, I remember I asked you if you wanted to do Jasmine's, and it was like the week after she left or something, and you're just like, no.
Yeah, because we had been going.
I totally get that.
It's like, I have been all over creation chasing this child. Oh my god, she is a teenager. So she was 14, and just, I'm glad I'm not a teenager mom all the time. I mean, she wasn't shitty the way some teenagers were.
But she was full of piss and vinegar.
No, it's more
feisty.
Like, no, it's more like you ask her to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And you get some kind of noise back. And then you ask her again 15 minutes later. And you ask her again. It's like, no, put down the cat and go take a shower. No, no, that's nice. Go take a shower. Go take a shower. It's bedtime. Go take a shower, child. You know, I think Sarah finally appreciated the hell he put his parents through as a teenager.
So at this point, are you going to adopt?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think so after that kind of fun. Because, you know, you adopt early, then they, you know, they're children and tiny potatoes, and then they grow up to be teenagers. And you can't just adopt someone at 18.
Tieran and I have already agreed to raise my niece if something horrible happens to both my sister and her husband at the same time. But that's the only way we would ever be raising my niece.
I would totally do that for my nieces and nephew, but voluntarily, I'm just, I can do this sometimes, but I would not want that full time day in, day out, and it might change, you know, you get the highs or the lows, but just go take a shower. Go take a shower. Go take a shower. Come on. We've been now reminding you every 15 minutes for an hour and a half, go.
Uh-oh. Take the shower. Clean up your act, you filthy child.
So here's a picture of my niece, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just zoom in there.
So
see that on the bottom?
A tooth.
That's a tooth.
Oh, no.
She's going to
rest in peace, your sister's nipples.
She's not breastfeeding.
Oh, okay.
But my niece and my brother-in-law had this little game where, like, he would basically boop her with his nose. They're not furries, by the way. I'm just furryizing the term. And she would bite on his nose. And it was really cute. And then she bit on his nose and he went, ow. And it's like, now she's growing two teeth. So
he does not know how to use them and control pressure.
He's going to have to watch out for that. Yeah. Like this happened when I was visiting, where basically my niece didn't have a tooth showing yet, but like clearly her gums had gotten hard because
they're like, just underneath.
It was just under the surface. Yeah.
Soon she'll get a taste for blood and then she's tasted human meat. None of safe.
She likes Cheerios. She's officially gotten to the age where she can eat Cheerios.
Oh, well, that's a start.
And my sister's dogs have figured out that the best place in the house to be is on the floor next to the high chair.
They're like, oh, that's a treat dispenser. They just rain from above.
Being less than a year old, she still tends to pick up shit and throw it and everything. So.
Or she tries to put it in her mouth and just like misses completely.
Yeah.
Friend of ours had a kid here, and when they first had the kid, they also had a dog. They got the dog as, like, they found it in the parking lot and rescued her shortly before, and then it was just too much with small child and very rowdy, apparently. She had obviously not knew humans, but not probably been a super indoor dog, so there was a long learning curve for how to behave and not be rambunctious. They end up having to surrender her, but they noticed the slight uptick of having to clean the floor once the dog was gone around the baby chair.
And
how much of an arc of food that gets spread, and it's noticeable when the dog was gone because the dog was cleaning it up.
My poor sister was apologizing for the state of her house, which looked fine to me when I visited in May, but she was like, yeah, if you look really closely over there, that picture on the wall has baby food splattered on it.
Just get talent
getting around to cleaning stuff up, you know.
At least I'm to the point where my niece can at least feed herself.
Yeah.
I bought her some like easy to cook food like in the microwave, and she fed herself for like two meals out of the day.
Yeah. So I haven't been up to much apart from, well, we have less than a month to Worldcon now.
That's a big deal.
I'm starting to freak out about planning that and everything, because it's going to be a much tougher con than our typical furry con. I don't know if I mentioned this on the show before, because it has 5 days of dealing.
Oh, geez.
The dealer's room is fully open from Thursday through Monday. So Monday, it's open till 3 p.m., and then you can break down at 3 p.m. on the Monday. So, like, Zia and I are flying home on Tuesday, and Kit and Kyle from Soph Wolf are going to help us with the breakdown on Monday. Because Tieran and Buck have to fly home before that, because then they're probably dumb. I know Tieran is going, and Buck is a maybe, but Denver is the weekend after Worldcon.
What week is that?
Okay, so this is all two weekends before Mephit, because basically for Planet has three conventions in a row. So we do Worldcon, then Denver, then Mephit Fermi.
Oh, geez.
Yep. So, like, I'm juggling all the people and who all is going to what. And, like, our only issue with that might be, like, stock shortage at some point. Like, if we're at one con and something sells extremely well at Denver, I don't have time to get new stock in before Mephit for a particular book.
Well, with Denver being a new con, even if it's replacing something, you kind of have an idea of how the prior convention went in terms of sales, and Mephit's not exactly a huge sales con.
Right, so, yeah.
You know, for Mephit, you just need to have the new shit.
I go to, like, cover my costs and represent my product at another location. But with Mephit, I also, like, kind of look upon it as a relax-a-con afterwards, anyway.
You make a little money to cover your trip and...
Yeah, and it's hard to say no to Mephit because it's an 8-hour drive instead of, like, a 20-hour drive. And I'm off on Monday because it's the Labor Day holiday. Anyway, so it's like one less day that I have to take off of my day job, because we're off that day anyway.
I don't know what my situation is going to be like when it comes to possibly assisting on either one of those, so
Yeah.
I'll have to see closer.
Ajax has gone with me the last two methods, so I might ask him first if he wants to drive with me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, yeah, come if you want.
Go through the cursed city of Longview. Wait, no. that doesn't go through Longview.
No, that doesn't go through Longview. Yeah, it just bypasses the cursed city of Memphis.
Yeah.
Let's see, the week of Mephit / Labor Day, me and Sarah are taking off up to Colorado for a week.
Oh, okay.
So sweet. We won't be at Mephit.
So it's Comic-Con weekend. You guys hype? No.
I'm only hype because they had the Doctor Who panel today. The new Doctor, Jodie Whittaker, was on the panel. I don't know what all companions were there. I know at least one of the guys was, because he's sitting next to her in the photo. But she showed off her new sonic screwdriver. And also the BBC dropped the first actual trailer of footage from the show at the panel. So I've now finally seen like a teaser trailer, basically, for Doctor Who next season.
And you saw the David Tennant / Muppet thing, right?
Savrin linked it to me. I have not watched it yet.
It's really cute.
Because I worked all day, and then I came and got you, and then we came over here.
I don't think I linked it to you. I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe it was Tyrion, then, or was it you?
Must have been someone else, because I don't know anything about David Tennant and the Muppet.
I thought it was in one of the show chats.
Yeah.
I'll have to look, because I'm drawing a blank.
Because it wasn't me, because I haven't watched it yet.
Oh. I linked you the, like, Jodie Whittaker... the screwdriver.
With the screwdriver, yeah.
So it's like, there's a mystery video somewhere in here.
Yeah.
You were the one linking, like, centaurs for disease control and chiropractor. We're trying to figure out who linked what where.
Yeah.
And I didn't put it in the show... topics file here.
So the tart jokes were mainly for Shiva's benefit. Mm-hmm. But I'm in the Furry Writers Guild Telegram chat, and there's a writer whose character's a tar in there, and he's got a couple of stories up on So Furry that are tar related puns. That's where Centaur for Disease Control
came through the main Notcast chat.
Okay. Well, anyways. Like, there hasn't been a lot of stuff announced yet, because it is Thursday. There's a new season of The Clone Wars.
Oh, I know out. Kyle is there, and I guess he probably picked this up at Worldcon, but he got a figures.
The Funko Pop?
Funko, that's it. The Funko Pop figure of the Ice Fox.
Crystal Foxes from Last Jedi.
Star Wars, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw the photo of it, but I didn't know where he'd gotten it, but he's at Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, so I'm thinking he got it, like, at Comic-Con, so... It'll be too late by the time this goes out, but I retweeted that, yeah, Sof Wolf has a table at Comic-Con, and Ken Kett and another artist are there at the table with them.
So. I mean, that's wild. That's cool they're doing it, that I'd personally rather die than go to San Diego Comic-Con, honestly.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, I can see or read about any major developments online. I
don't need to be in that mass of humanity.
Like, the only thing I care enough about is Doctor Who. And I know everything about Doctor Who already from the internet. So.
And, like, there was a Teen Titans trailer, but it's all gritty and dark because DC doesn't know how to make a lighthearted film to save their lives.
Yeah, it's apparently a series. It's an animated series.
They're doing a TV series for the DC. They're like, DC's doing its own, like, oh, you should subscribe to us, like CBS is. Uh-huh. And then Disney's doing their own shit.
Right.
So it's like, they're doing a DC Teen Titans show, which is live action.
Yeah.
But then also Disney is doing their own shit, which will have all their Marvel, Star Wars, and
they're doing
Disney
that
shit.
Other one I was telling you about at lunch, the Marvel, I've forgotten the name of it.
Marvel Rising. Because it's a cartoon.
Yeah, it's a cartoon that's going to be on Disney XD.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that'll ever hit, like, Netflix or anything, or if I'll have to buy it.
Yeah, that's what's really bothersome is, like, DuckTales is never going to show up on that or anything like that. So it's like, well, I want to watch it, but also don't want to have to pay $30 a season.
Yeah.
It's bothersome. I mean, that's what sucks about the fragmentation of the digital landscape. I mean, everyone wants their own slice of the pie, and eventually you're paying more with all these services like HBO Now, Showtime, whatever.
I pretty much Netflix, decided Hulu. I'm not going to buy CBS All Access again for next season of Discovery. The only thing you
watched was Discovery, right?
Right, yeah. So if it drops on iTunes, I will buy the season on iTunes, which it won't do that until well after it's aired. And if it doesn't do that, I'll join All Access for a month at the end of the season, marathon it over a couple of weekends.
Yeah. And that seems to be the most economical way to handle it.
Because when you think about it, it was, what, probably 13 episodes. So basically, I paid like $130, $120 to watch Discovery and nothing else.
VHS tape purchase level of bullshit, you know?
That's some, like, anime box set. episode count there.
I paid $210 for Trigun when it was being released, and that was 26 episodes.
And I'm like, yeah, Discovery was cool and all, but you know, there's plenty of other shit to watch.
You're not gonna fucking watch all the fucking
Big Bang Theory. For Discovery. Yeah, I'm not gonna watch anything else on CBS. And but I mean,
it's America's most watched network.
And I even waited until after the season aired to watch Legends of Tomorrow, which I really enjoy, but it showed up on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I just watched it. You know.
I wonder if they're going to pull their DC Arrowverse shows from Netflix and put it on that DC thing. Because, I mean, Panther and I watch it, all four of their Arrowverse shows. And
Ajax will be pissed.
If they do that, it's just like, all right, I guess we won't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
There's plenty of shit that hits Netflix.
Yeah.
Speaking of shit that's going to hit Netflix, She-Ra.
Oh, okay. Yes. The name's
original.
Both. So currently Netflix has the original She-Ra cartoon.
And they
also have the new one that's coming out. New redesigns, characters look pretty cool. Been seeing lots of fan art about it. It looks fun. Like, they're redeveloping the show to be not just a toy show, not going to be just toyetic. And it looks really neat. But yeah, the original She-Ra is available on Netflix, and you can watch that and see just how kind of shit it is. I mean, it was done in the 80s. Okay. I mean, it's not great. It's about as good as the He-Man was, and He-Man wasn't good.
I don't remember, because He-Man is one of those, I enjoyed it in my childhood, and that's where it lives, and I haven't watched it since.
I mean, it was in 1986 or so, so I watched it in, like, reruns.
Yeah, and I was 10. So,
I was 3.
Yeah.
And so, like, I had the He-Man toys, but it wasn't like, oh, this is a fucking cornerstone of my childhood. Ah, like, I was going to get mad about a cartoon reboot, which I'm not going to. It'd be like rebooting the Disney Afternoon, which they're doing, and it's fucking great.
Yeah.
Like, Darkwing Duck has already showed up. Don Carnage has showed up in DuckTales. They're just blending all that shit together. It's great.
Is it really, though? I mean, okay, so the only aspect of that I have an issue with is the fact that Tailspin takes place in 1937, and DuckTales clearly takes place in current the 21st day. Century, if not current year.
You know, like, Don Carnage shows up, it could totally be
his great-great-grandson or something?
Yeah, who fucking knows? I mean, Darkwing Duck was not set the same time DuckTales was.
Yeah, it was, because Launchpad McQuack was in both shows, and so was Gizmo Duck.
Oh,
so original Disney Afternoon, those two shows are contemporaries.
They're in the same universe.
And I think Goof Troop is as well. I think all of those shows, with the exception of Tailspin being set in the 30s and Gummy Bears in some
Rescue Rangers
far off land. Rescue Rangers could be at the same time. I mean, it's not really date specific. I don't remember. It's not like, I mean,
they had bottled bleach and balloons, so they got to have that at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly 20th century. Like, they're not using a lot of electronics, like gadgets, not hacking a cell phone or anything like that, which she totally would do now if it was made.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it's, I think it was probably supposed to be in the time that it was aired.
Yeah. So the gist of this, though, is, like, we're talking about She-Ra briefly because it looks neat. They're doing a reboot. Sure, whatever.
And people are bitching about it.
People are bitching about it.
People that probably didn't watch or care about the original show are bitching about it.
We've gone over this in the past, and my statement is basically, look, kill your fucking nostalgia. Let your enjoyment of the thing live in the past, and then the new stuff, well, it's not for you, you know, as the tweet from Kate Leth, which will be in the show notes, is like, I don't like the cartoon. You don't have to. It's not what I like. It is not for you. But everything is for me. Exactly. It's like, not everything is for you. I mean, people complained about the Voltron reboot when it first came out, because it was look too much like Avatar The Last Airbender. And people complained about, well, there are still complaining about the Thundercats thing. Mm-hmm. They wasted a couple weeks on that. It's still coming, right. Y'all. You're not going to fucking stop it. You know,
if you're 40 now, hopefully you will be 60, 70, and 80 years old, too. These shows are going to get remade and remade and remade. And, you know, in like 2050, when Paw Patrol is remade, my niece can either ignore it or complain about how this isn't like what I watched when I was a kid.
This CG hologram of Sky is just too unrealistic. You know, the fur textures are terrible. I remember back when they had flat shaded polygon fur, and it was better because it was in 2D and not projected into my brain.
So, you know what occurred to me about how, what really irritates me? So, when I was visiting my family in Florida, I watched a lot of Paw Patrol and Top Wing, because those are the shows that my niece is too young to really comprehend the storyline or anything, but like, they are the particular brand of bright, colorful, moving things that she giggles at and finds cute. So my sister saves like 12 hours of them on her DVR and then just throws them up there so that niece can be entertained while she's working. And what struck me about Paw Patrol is that I don't remember if there's five or six characters, but basically like four of them are boys and one is very clearly a girl. And she's very clearly a girl because she has eyelashes and she has a pink uniform and a pink flying thing or whatever, right?
Okay.
And I think it's the same in Top Wing. Like it's all boys and then you have the one girl character that's very obviously a girl. And it just sort of really struck me, like, how gendered it is, you know? Like, if you have a very young kids show like that, why isn't it, like, three boys and three girls? You know, why is it four boys and the one girl? That happens a lot in that sort of age group stuff. And then I guess there's other shows for girls. Like, I mean, there's probably like a younger version of Barbie or whatever, but it's just watching Paw Patrol, I was like, okay, like a boy or girl could appreciate this. Why is it so uneven? Also, who is funding Paw Patrol? That's what I really want to know.
Follow the money,
because somebody in this universe that the show takes place in decided that instead of calling the fire department to go and get a cat out of a tree, they need to deploy five highly trained talking dogs with millions of dollars worth of super designed equipment for them to fly out there or 4x4 out there and rescue a cat from a tree. And I'm just sort of like, okay, whatever city this is in, their sense of priority and municipal planning is really skewed. All I'm saying is I have questions about Paw Patrol.
Well, and then you said what was the other one? It has birds though, but they Top all have
wing.
Planes.
Top Wing. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I was correct on the character's name. I think there might be two girls. One is named Sky and the other one is Everest, maybe? Who knows?
Is that the birds or the dogs?
The dogs.
The dogs? Okay.
And the reason I'm like, because it's like, I'd seen that name pop up before. Oh, right. It's on E621. Oh.
For fuck's sake. It's
like, I've seen that name somewhere. Oh, right. God.
Porn,
really?
Right.
Yeah, sorry guys. When you just browse it, you just see all sorts of shit.
Okay, if you're into that, whatever. But like, this is another example.
Adult ass versions of the characters. It's not.
This
like
is another example of characters that I don't find at least bit sexually appealing.
Well, it's
you know?
Like fucking people making porn of Anthro Blue from Blue's Clues. It happens.
I know.
I just look at it and go, "What the fuck." But somebody finds
right.
it.
Right, and I've seen porn of fucking Barney.
Sure, why not? I mean, whatever.
Well, the reason I saw that was somebody was complaining on Twitter that they were at work, and some friend that's always fucking with them sent them a Telegram message, and it was this Rule 34 drawing of Barney, and this guy was in a work meeting which he shouldn't have been looking at Telegram at his work meeting anyway. But all of a sudden, like, Barney's dino cock and big paws are showing up on his phone. And it's like, dude, don't look at fucking Telegram at work. But, you know, anyway.
As the tweet that I linked in the chat, it's like, I wish I had the energy for folks who can see a picture of a cartoon woman and get so angry about how they don't want to fuck them that they can hallucinate the end of Western civilization. It's like, this is the death of femininity. Look at her. She-Ra looks like a athletic tomboy because she doesn't have the boobs.
I've just reached this point where I've realized
that... She needs the big baps.
I really don't give a fuck at all when they remake a cartoon from my childhood. Because, like, I watched He-Man as a kid. Well, let's go to another one that has actually had remakes. I watched Thundercats as a kid. I didn't watch the remake in the early 2000s. I'm not intending to watch the remake that's coming out now. And I just don't care. Like, yeah, I enjoyed it. Thought it was really awesome when I was 10. But if I watched it again today, I mean, I may or may not find it as appealing.
It's real hard to go back to some of that shit.
But it's not something I'm planning on watching again. Why do I give a fuck if they've redesigned it for the artistic style of the time? For a whole other generation to watch, I mean...
Well, it's like going back and watching, like, Real Ghostbusters, which is also on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good time capsule because a lot of it was done by TMS that did a lot of high-grade animation work. And if you look at it, it's totally a late 80s anime that is just dubbed into English. And one of the guys, I forget his name, like Lorenzo something. He was the voice of Garfield.
Lorenzo Music. He's Garfield, Tommy Gummy, and Peter Venkman.
And they all use the same voice.
Mm-hmm. And he uses like the same voice for all Garfield,
except it's Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And it's like, going back, it's not great. You can have nostalgia for it, but if they did a new version of the cartoon, which they probably won't, I've told you over lunch today, I feel like a big dumbass being so like, oh, Ghostbusters, oh, a few years ago. But then when we finally sat down and watched it, we both enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, it's not for us, it's for the next generation of kids and like being entitled to ownership of a thing. And you're not.
I mean, I might be more annoyed if I had a child and I was basically forced to watch it because I was raising a kid.
Well, I mean,
and that would really just be like, Christ, I'm watching cartoons, the same ones over and over for like 4 hours a day or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thankfully, Netflix has enough different shows on it. You could probably really mix it up.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of like, yo, it's not for you. Let the kids enjoy their thing. It's going to be on Netflix. They're throwing money at it. So like, it doesn't matter if you don't watch it. It's going to be out there. They might make some toys. They might not. It's Netflix. They've got lots of money to burn.
There's so much terrible, dark shit happening in the world and in our country right now that I really can't get up the energy to give a fucking fly's fart about a cartoon being remade.
I like the look of the new She-Ra.
Yeah, it looks cool. And there's a cat girl named Captra, I think it is.
Oh, yeah?
No, there's a cat girl. She's got heterochromia. People are going to be doing Rule 34.
That's great.
Shit.
I can't wait to see the Rule 34 of her. I mean, you know, it's like I don't celebrate Easter, but I really look forward to all of the slutty bunny porn on FA.
Yeah, you know. Find the silver lining. In this case, the porn lining.
Find the sticky lining.
So while the nerds were all distracted by the SJWs remaking She-Ra, the gays have used their insidious powers to sneak Scootaloo's lesbian aunts into the comics. Prior to this is a pony-related thing. Mm-hmm. I don't, like, bring up a ton of pony stuff except, Jesus Christ, like what the bronies are mad about now. They did a series of young reader books that basically, as a side, they, like, nailed down that Scootaloo is not homeless. She doesn't live in a cardboard box under Rainbow Dash's house or anything like that. But
Fuck them, that's my headcanon.
She lives with her two aunts, and uh-huh. They're a couple. They're pony married. So Scootaloo lives with her lesbian aunts, and they were in the book and didn't really get remarked upon, but now they've been added into the comics. And as one would expect, 4chan was not happy, because 4chan's never happy. 4chan is a terrible place. Do not go there. Save yourself.
One comment I read was, of course Scootaloo's crippled. She's being raised by gays. And I was like, what?
Like, that doesn't make any sense. But yes, the gays have they're further gaying up Tonyville. They already had, like...
Lyra and Bon Bon.
They already had same-sex couples, specifically Lyra and Bon Bon, but also, like, male couples in the background during the Valentine's Day episode. I think I talked about it back when it was around. I was like, yeah, there's totally same-sex couples, walking around and having dinner together on the Valentine's Day.
Who knew, after all these years, the gay agenda boiled down to queer ponies?
Yeah.
That was our end game all along.
Yep. We're showing the children of tomorrow that sexuality is no big deal, like whoever. Great. But yes, the nerds were distracted long enough for the gays to further gay up the ponies. Because you know what? Everybody in Equestria is so fucking concerned about the heterosexuality of everybody.
Apparently.
Especially with, like, the gender split in the show like it is. Vastly more females than males.
Uh-huh.
So, monogamy and heteronormativity, that's a lot of thirsty single ponies.
Because, you know, horses are totally into monogamy.
Yep. So, I'll tell you something, though, that is really disappointing. You might have seen my thread on it, Shiva. A Manchu Advance. So this is an anime that I've talked about in the past. It's the diving lesbians, as I referred it to.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a show that's about diving that's set on the southeast coast of Japan. It's very cute. It's like set in an actual town that the actual town has used as like promotional stuff. So like they do a tour in the city that's like, come see the locations that the characters visit in the show and whatnot. So it's actual based in a place. But in this season, they added a character named Kokoro. And Kokoro is this very feminine drawn, very feminine dressing, very feminine presenting character that they use the she, her pronouns for the entire fucking season until you get up to episode 11.
Mm-hmm.
Then Kokoro mentions that she is going to this ceremony where, like, they burn the grass on this ash cone volcano so that new stuff will grow in the spring. And she mentions that's where he will become a man. And the main characters are like, you're a boy? And he's like, of course I'm a boy. What do you mean? Everybody thinks you're a girl. What? And, like, even the main character whom Kokoro has had a crush on is like, wait, you're a boy? Because, like, this entire season, I'm like, is she, like, a baby gay? Is she, like, trans mask? I mean, obviously I'm hoping way too fucking much for Japan to have something vaguely progressive like that. But it was one of those things where, like, this character was super ambiguous the entire fucking season. And then, that once they've established, you know, Kokoro is a dude, and he has the hots for the main character, Pikari. The other girl, who up until this point has basically been super gay for Pikari, turns to Kokoro and's like, well, since you're a boy, your love for her is different than mine. I'll be rooting for you. Like, they fucking no-homoed this character who has been maximum homo for the past season and 11 episodes.
What?
And it just killed my enjoyment of the last episode of the season because it was just like, why would you do this? And it doesn't help that Kokoro is in middle school. Like, he's 2 years younger than Pikari, and Pikari is only 16. So this kid's like 14 going after a second year high schooler. But he's straight and a boy. Therefore, his love is different than Teko's love for Pikari. It was so out of left field. And it's probably my fault for not looking into the source material further. But it's just a fucking anime. I watch a bunch of it, and I don't dig too deep. I enjoy what I get, or I drop the show. And it just seems so, like, it was literally 11th hour of this show, where they're like, oh, by the way, the birth rate in Japan's too dang low, so we gotta push that heteronormativity. Gotta be straight. Your love is different than, like, a girl having a lesbian crush. It was so disappointing. I was so sad. And, like, when I tried to explain it to my friend that I watch it with, he didn't fucking get it, because he's just that straight. So that was sad. I did not enjoy that one bit. I will include the link to my thread in the show notes, because I thought it was, like, really...
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So, do y'all have any further talks? Because I have one more big one that relates to a podcast I've been listening to, but I don't want to completely dominate the show.
Has been work. I haven't really been up to much lately besides, well, last weekend, and I do have a treat for when we stop. So last weekend, went out, and it was too hot. Usually I pick, but I went and picked up some blueberries. And we stopped by a peach orchard. And then that's Saturday. Then Sunday, in the middle of the heat, we decided we were going to bake. So I have some Tennessee peach pudding which is really tasty to share with you guys. And then Sarah took to work for muffins for... Did you get any of the muffins, Buzz, that he dropped off?
There have been
He handed it off to Jace, so I wasn't sure if Jace, who he passed it around to.
I think Sarah was going to bring some into work, but I didn't know. I mean, nobody contacted me while I was at work today or anything.
Well, no, this was like on Monday. I don't know if you're in the office on Monday.
I'm not.
Okay, that's what would be why you didn't get a muffin.
Gotcha. Which is fine, because I'm trying to cut out sugar anyway.
I know. But they were teeny muffins, anywho. So, in the middle of the heat wave, we decided to bake, which was very warm, but really tasty. Other than that grand experiment, mostly it's so fucking hot. What do? Try to escape the heat. I've been trying to build an irrigation system out on my patio for my plants, and I get a little bit done each weekend and discover I need another part. Then by the time we get back from the hardware store, we tinker around a little, and then it's fucking 100 degrees out, and we give up. Repeat. So I'm hoping to get it finished on Sunday because we pretty much have everything put together. That's been interesting. I know how to do it vaguely because my dad had done it before and he's been coaching me through creating it. So, but that's cool. Been our grand project.
Yeah, I haven't done any baking lately either because it's just been too damn hot. I mean, yes, our AC works really well, but I don't want to have to make it work any harder than it already does, you know? It's like, all right, time to bake it. Midnight, while Adam is bouncing around me.
That's going, what I was thinking.
Give.
No, we did it in the middle of the day. And luckily, I mean, we had air conditioning to escape it, but it still was like, I'm hot.
Yeah. Adam is eternally sad that he cannot jump high enough to get to anything on the counter.
And you're eternally glad?
Yes, because I had this moment the other morning, because I had gotten, my alarm went off at 6:50 a.m., Panther was already in the shower. I needed to go to the bathroom. So I walk out, go to the guest bathroom, and Adam is still asleep underneath the blanket. I didn't disturb him. I was like, all right, good. He's still asleep. So, like, you have the mirror. It sees out the hallway. There's no dog. I'm out of view. And then, like, 10 seconds later, I look, and he's sitting there. Dead silent because he didn't have his collar on, but he was sitting at the door waiting.
We're waiting.
You're in the treat room. Give me a treat. Eyes glowing. Activated. He can't jump high enough to get to the treats that he knows are on the... He can see the bag. He sees the shiny silver bag that's the little teeth chews, like the dentist stick chews. He loves those fucking things. And he will, like... He will fucking Kool-Aid Man into the door if he hears me rustle. So, like, if I have the door mostly closed, he'll always, like, bonk Bang. Into it and get it open. But, like... If he's not in the room and I have it mostly closed, but then he hears the rustle, he will literally just wham right into the fucking door and like hit me with it because he hears me like touch the bag and it rustles slightly.
It's like Bo and the goddamn laser pointer. He's about as bad. The dog loves the stupid laser pointer.
So my last big topic for this week, is my mom actually recommended to me a podcast series called Seeing White. It was done by the show Scene on Radio, and it basically discusses whiteness as a construct, how it came to be, how it affected the development of the United States, and how basically done by the ruling rich classes to divide the poorer class against itself. This is one of those really interesting things where you find out that really white people have been fucking up North America for the past 400 years, and... how we in the what would later become the United States really had a pretty uniquely bad method of segregating and then eventually completely subjugating the black populace in the nation. Like, starting from indentured servitude in the late 1600s and going up to actual, like, full-blown slavery in the 1800s. And then, you know, we had that little tiff called the Civil War. And then everything afterwards where it didn't get any better for a while. It's been a really interesting deep dive into basically a part of history that we don't get taught. Because, you know, we're all white. We don't have to think about it. We are the default easy mode. You know, we're rolling that white privilege because we don't got to worry about the fucking cops and all that shit nearly as much.
Right.
And everything else that comes with not being a minority in America, or at least like a outward minority. Right. So it's a 14-part podcast series where the episodes are between 15 minutes to an hour long. And I am most of the way through like the fifth episode. And thus far, it again has been a very interesting listen, because it really shows how fickle whiteness has been, too. Because, you know, you always had your, there were various folks that, it was always the prior wave of immigrants that hated the next wave. So you had the Irish would hate the Poles, or the, basically, you had the construct of, like, whiteness was sort of deconstructed a bit prior to World War II, where, like, oh, well, you know, we didn't like the Irish or the Poles or the Italians or the Irish or whatever. They all had a little bit of infighting, but then again, once it push came back to shove, the Jim Crow laws and whatnot, okay, well, there's, again, there's the whites, and then there's everybody else. But the podcast hasn't gotten it to that point yet. It primarily covers a lot of stuff at this point, prior to America becoming a nation. Prior, like, colonial stuff, talking about, like, the slave codes, the late 1700s, and how just the level of bullshit that they would do to basically keep the white labor class in line and aligned to the rich whites while putting them in opposition to the everybody else. Native Americans, Moors, Africans. And there was, like, two really illustrative parts, or two things that really stood out to me. One was basically the first time where permanent indentured servitude was used as a punishment in North America. There's a guy, I think, by the name of John Punch. This is in the late 1600s. He and two white indentured servants ran away. They didn't make it very far, unfortunately for them. And it was interesting because the two white guys got like 4 years each tacked on to their indentured servitude. But the black guy, the judge's ruling, was basically forced, like, you will be an indentured servant for the rest of your days. Basically sentencing this guy to permanent slavery. And the other one was, well, actually there's three parts, but the second one is where a young woman, this is in the Virginia colony, where a young woman of mixed race, her father was white, her mother was an indentured servant, a black indentured servant. But at the time, race was determined by your father. So this person, in the technical rules of the law, was white, but she was born of a slave mother, so she was technically a slave. So she existed in this limbo state. So she successfully sued for her freedom and won because her father was white and she had become a Christian. And the rules at the time in the colonial Virginia colony basically was you couldn't have Christian slaves. You had to let any indentured servants who were not Christian keep their religion, because if they became Christian, they couldn't be slaves anymore. So she sued and won and got her freedom. And then immediately thereafter that, they changed the rules to basically that now parentage was matrilineal. And it didn't matter if they were Christian or not, they could still always be slaves. And then the third one was, again, Virginia. Virginia is a real, really bad state for history, apparently, where this was when Virginia was becoming a state. And they had to define who could be a citizen in the state. Now, one, everybody remembers the story of Pocahontas, not the Disney version, but the actual version, where Pocahontas was, I think, John Rolfe, I think it was? Basically, Pocahontas was married off to a white dude, but...
And she was 12. Unlike how she's portrayed in the Disney.
Yeah. She didn't have big old titties or a talking raccoon. It was bad. So she comes back and they have kids. But under the conception of whiteness at the time, the kids weren't. But the dude was one of the biggest tobacco growers in the colony, so he had money. So when they were doing who could be a citizen and who wasn't, at the time it was like only whites can be citizens, have land, et cetera, et cetera. If you were anything else, if you were mixed race, if you were black, if you were basically anybody who wasn't white, you weren't a citizen and weren't entitled to land. But they asterisked the white so that specifically her descendants, because they were the descendants of Pocahontas and like this
important white guy,
important rich white motherfucker tobacco plantation, they counted as white. And it was that way in Virginia's
even
laws.
Under 50% Native American.
Yeah, because Native Americans couldn't be citizens except for the descendants of Pocahontas and this rich motherfucker.
Wow.
So it's been really enlightening. I wouldn't say it's been enjoyable, because you're like, fuck, you're learning a lot of the dirty fucking truth about our nation. But it's also good to know.
Yeah.
And like the episode I'm on now is about the Dakota Plains War, which happened in Minnesota in like 1863, around the same time as the Civil War was going on. Basically, it was a Dakota Indians decided to, they were tired of America's shit, started fucking up the colonizers, and then America came in and kicked their ass, because that's, there's a lot, there were a lot more whites than there were Dakota Indians. And then we had like a mini Trail of Tears up there too, and basically pushed the Dakota Indians into Dakota natives, Dakota tribe, into what we now know, the Dakota territories, North and South Dakota, which are not exactly the most fertile hunting lands. And they were a primarily hunting and not very agrarian, and the vast majority of them died. Also, they were the victims of the single largest mass execution in our nation's history, done at the behest of Abraham Lincoln. So, learning about all sorts of dirty-ass history from this show. And it draws heavily from a couple books.
Which Savern Olink link in the
titled A History of White People by Neil Irvin Painter, and Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America by Ibram X. Kendi. So, you should fucking enlighten yourself. Listen to this show and be like, fuck. Learn about some of the gnarly ass shit. Or as I told you, Fuzz, like white people fucking up North America for the last 400 years.
Yeah. I have a factoid to share with you on that topic, because I just looked up John Punch. And this is interesting. This is on Wikipedia. It says, in July of 2012, Ancestry.com published a paper suggesting that John Punch was a 12th generation grandfather of President Barack Obama on his mother's side, on the basis of historic and genealogical research and Y-DNA analysis. So there's some actual science behind that, that Obama descended from him. And another one of Punch's descendants, Punch is believed to be one of the paternal ancestors of 20th century American diplomat Ralph Bunche, who is the first African American to win the Nobel Peace Prize. So that's
pretty cool.
Kind of interesting footnotes on your story there.
That the first permanent slave in North America would eventually be related to the first black president.
Yep.
So, you know, I wouldn't say that's like a happy ending to it, but at least an interesting footnote.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my topics for this week.
Okay, so I have a fun topic that was linked in the show notes, and I have a less fun topic that I didn't link, but I have in my head.
Okay.
Which do you want first?
We'll leave the fun one for last.
Okay, all right. So, in the interests of environmentalism, a lot of localities are putting in straw bans.
Oh, yeah.
Bans against non-reusable plastic straws. And initially, just on the surface of it, I was like, okay, well, I mean, that's not so bad. That'll help, the environment or, whatever. And then the idea started to get some pushback. And basically, I learned something, because I'm not disabled in any way currently. So I don't have any like major debilitating diseases or anything. So I didn't know that this is considered an ableist policy, because a lot of people who are suffering various conditions actually rely on there being plastic straws readily available, and some of the reusable, washable kinds aren't going to work for them. And apparently, plastic straws only count for like 0.0003% of the ocean plastic that is the issue that caused this ban to come about. Majority of the ocean plastic waste is from industrial use.
Yep.
So, we can either corral like 30 big companies into taking care of their shit, or we can put all of these disabled people at a major disadvantage.
I'm curious what the reusable kind has compared to like plastic straws.
And I will tell you, because I read a good number of Twitter threads on this. Thank you for asking. I was actually going to put that in there. So if you are immunocompromised in any way, then a reusable thing that you put in your mouth is not a good idea. It all has to be sterilized. So taking something brand new out of the packet is the best way to do that. And even if you have a way of sterilizing them, that's more work for a person who may or may not be able to do that, or more work for their caregiver who's already doing a shitload of work. And if you suffer from a condition that affects your nervous system, say like cerebral palsy, where you have like the shaking hands and everything, then the moment you drop that straw on the floor, your fucking sterile environment is fucked and you'll need another straw. Now, and with cheap plastic straws, you can quickly reopen another one and be good to go. Not so much with the metal ones. There's also other conditions where, like, you can make the plastic straws that are bendable, or you could more easily make them into different shapes to suit individuals' needs. And, you know, if you're going out and about or just trying to live your daily life, it's so much easier on a lot of disabled people if they have access to this thing that we just take for granted and don't think about. On a related note, a while back I'd seen someone post a picture of in a supermarket. There was an orange unpeeled and it's in a plastic container, and the description was kind of like, what the fuck is this bullshit? Why would you unpeel an orange just to save people from unpeeling? How fucking lazy are they? Well, that's actually made for people who are mobility impaired, where like peeling an orange by hand may be too difficult for them if they don't have good hand coordination.
Now,
popping open a plastic container is a hell of a lot simpler.
I wouldn't say it was made for them, but they're definitely a beneficiary of it. Like, I don't think that that's the target audience for that. I think it's mostly targeted, you know.
Basically,
but they
I'm
do...
basing it on what actual disabled people said. That's what that's for. I don't. I would have to. We'd have to research that. But I'm, since it's an area that I'm not super familiar and full of information on, I'm just going to kind of take them at their word. Yeah. And the same deal with the plastic straws. Like, yeah. Disabled people say they need plastic straws. Fucking let them have plastic straws.
The other thing.
And when you couple that with how little an impact plastic straws have compared to what these big wasteful corporations are contributing to the world pollution problem.
So the other thing, too, that the plastic lid that they're going to be shifting things to for Starbucks uses more plastic than a plastic straw.
Okay, I haven't heard about this. What Starbucks does?
It looks like a sippy cup.
Yeah, they're doing like little sippy cup lid looking things.
Almost like you see for coffee cups or like Quick Trip and such. It's got that kind of swooped.
Yeah, I was like, don't they already have that?
Not for Starbucks.
But they use more plastic in them than a single use straw.
Right.
Also, the fucking plastic in the cold drink cups. Like, there's so many fucking other things they can think about rather than like, oh, straws. It's such a fucking hollow ass thing that it does, and it does impact disabled folks and makes it harder for them.
And another thing it does is that, you know, you have all these all the people with all the money, these big corporations that are creating the vast amount, percentage-wise, of the waste in the world, have basically tricked us into thinking that that recycling our straws naturally, they can't be recycled. They're too small. That's the problem. Most recycling plants, anything that is narrower than, like, 2 inches, apparently will drop right through the machines.
Oh.
So they can't recycle plastic straws. But anyway, these people have basically convinced the rest of the populace that for the good of the planet, you have to stop using plastic straws. We're not going to get our shit together, but if we can fool everyone else into thinking that plastic straws at Whataburger are a problem, then we get off scot-free. And whenever there's an issue with pollution, we'll just be like, well, people aren't recycling enough.
It's the rich distracting everyone else.
Yeah, it's distracting us from the real issue.
You know,
when, like, the people that actually have the power to do something about it don't, because that would cost money.
Well, Fuzz, Elon Musk donated $2,000 to Flint. That should be enough to fix their pipes, right?
I will strangle you with this hookah hose.
So, billionaires all suck, kids. Just as a reminder, billionaires are not your friends. You cannot be a moral person and have $1 billion. So that is our blanket statement. If we wanted to go off about, like, fucking shit-ass billionaires,
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at fucking...
And this is just another example.
Just Jeff Bezos and his bullshit.
Christ.
And Elon Musk.
So, like, someone put back-to-back these headlines that both came about on the same day. You know, Prime Day hit. There's a big push, especially in Europe, in Spain. There's workers striking, and there's a big push to boycott Amazon during Prime Day. And the headline was that basically, like, Spanish police forces were breaking up protesters.
And breaking teeth.
Breaking up the strike line, breaking someone's tooth, along with other abrasions to various protesters. And then the other headline was Jeff Bezos officially worth $150 billion.
Yep.
And I believe he's the first person to cross that threshold, is what the article implied. And it's just sort of like, yeah, you know. And the other one I saw that was like a back-to-back image was like some guy in France bought at auction a guillotine.
He doesn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, he literally said that. Has no idea what to do with it. And then the next picture was Jeff Bezos worth $150 billion.
Well, that other one.
I mean, can't you just take a billion of that, like, fix Flint or something?
A billion? Wait,
it wouldn't even take that. That's the sad. Yeah, I know. I'm just.
Spend a billion on infrastructure.
There's so much that you could do with that money. I'm like, fucking give it to me. I will figure out how to spend it. You know?
I'll keep not a penny for myself, and I will fix a lot of shit.
Like, there's so much shit wrong in the world that I know about, just me, and I know there's a shitload more wrong, where you're like, fucking less than $10 million would probably fix Flint's water system, replace the whole damn thing.
Spend $10 million and do what Salt Lake City is doing to get their homeless population off the street by building public housing that they get to live in rent-free, no strings attached.
You saw that Colorado is spending like $3 million just on feeding the homeless from their marijuana tax.
Great.
That's awesome.
You know,
it also shows you how little, in air quotes, money comparatively, like $3 million is absolutely nothing when you compare it to $150 billion. So for people in the world having this much money, like, but it's, you can solve obscene problems for a fraction of a fraction of that. Yeah, it's obscene.
$3 million, he makes that before breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, what was it?
$240K an hour?
No, a minute.
A minute.
Or
a minute.
Something obscene like that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's all imaginary. Money's fucking imaginary. Like, when it gets to scales that large, yeah, sure, you can shit out $1 trillion. Who cares? It's not real. You know? How does the government pay for their military and bombs? Fake money. They just shit that shit out. It's not real.
Yeah. So whenever politicians say we can't afford nationalized free health care, we can't afford to give everybody higher education for free, we can't afford to implement all of these problems to all these solutions to help homeless people improve their lives, they're fucking lying. They could do it if they wanted. They don't have the political will to do it. Because it would mean taking money from the rich in some fashion.
You know,
it would mean closing a tax loophole.
Sending a few less Tomahawk missiles into unoccupied air bases in Syria, you know.
What was that fucking missile I saw the other day? It's like the missiles on this ship cost like $1 million a missile to fire.
Oh, it's not even that. They're railgun bullets. They're not even missiles.
They're a slug.
They're a slug. But the slugs don't exist because the weapons are so untested. These ships exist. I think they're called littoral combat ships. They're designed to be indirect fire. They're like, it's cool. Like, the idea of a railgun on a ship is neat in a sci-fi context. But in real world, they're completely fucking practical.
Mm-hmm.
And the bullets cost $1 million for one. So basically, they don't exist and probably will never exist. And so we have three ships that cost us probably $1 billion that are basically just there. They exist.
Yeah.
They can't fire their guns. They might have some anti-aircraft weapons, but that's not going to do it.
More money that the U.S. military is.
You know, look at the F-35.
I was just thinking, that's the other thing we're fucking wasting billions of dollars on.
You know, for the cost of one fucking F-35, which will fucking just kill you if you fly it, odds are, you know, they could fix so much fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
You know,
They really need to remake those 1980s Help a Child in Ethiopia videos. You know, for the cost of just one F-35, you can feed this entire fucking country.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna fucking Google this shit where, like, what's the cost of the F-30, like, F-35 cost? Because it's obscene. Oh, a F-35, if I search that, the Siri pops up with $116 million. So, cost to fix Flint, let's see. It could be done in a year in $55 million. So, you could replace all the pipes in Flint, Michigan twice for the cost of a single F-35 plane. Which is more useful to us as a society? And ask yourself why we haven't fucking eaten the rich and fix this problem. Because, yeah, a single F-35, which, again, is not in use, it's not flyable, it's not in a combat capacity. Like, look into the F-35. I will include a link in the show notes of just how fucking clown shoes the development of this thing has been. It fucking lost in a simulated dogfight to a goddamn A-10 Warthog. And that's just an aerial fucking... It's basically we strapped a plane around a giant Gatling cannon. It's this total piece of shit. So basically, yeah, it's fucked. And we really could be spending our money way better. You know, we need to spend the money on the fucking people and not the military, not bombing brown folks, not giving fucking trillionaires tax cuts and then cutting social services to fucking do that. I think... One of the things, like, they zeroed out the budget for some, like, National HIV Prevention Fund as part of their, oh, we gotta fucking balance the budget after the tax cuts. Mm-hmm. We're gonna double our fucking deficit and have done nothing for the economy but make the rich richer. You know, so it's just like we're taking the crumbs from the poor and being like, oh, there's just no money in the banana stand. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to pay for all this shit. Meanwhile, we're throwing million-dollar bullets across the horizon and missing. We're fucking building planes that can't fly, and if they do fly, they have a chance to kill the pilot if they're over a certain height. Yeah, that was another one of those fun F-35 facts where, like, if they ejected and the pilot was taller than a certain time, there was too much of a delay between the canopy blow-off and the ejector seat, so it just crunches their head against the top of the fucking canopy, like at the end of Top Gun.
Spoilers for Top Gun, dude.
Yeah. Sorry. It so was from 1987, I think.
Six, I think.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break to scream into the scream hall, and we'll be right back with some positive furry news. Okay, so I have a couple of furry things here to talk about, and as always, Savrin will link them in the show notes. So one of the authors that we work with, Tempe Okun, wrote an article with Draylen Dragonfox for Dogpatch Press. It's called Furry Socialism, You're Soaking in It. So I will link that to Savrin, and he will put those in the show notes. And he basically puts forth the argument that the furry fandom is... already pretty damn socialist.
Every artist owns the means of their own production.
Basically, yeah. So the positive furry thing I wanted to share, and I also wanted to share this just to spread the word on it. So for those that may not know, Foxes and Peppers have launched their second Kickstarter. Foxes and Peppers are Foxamore and Pepper Coyote, both of whom we like very much. Hung out with them at various cons. They're cool guys. They make great music. Pepper did our intro. We've featured Pepper's music on the show before. A couple years ago, they kickstarted their first collaborative album called Hashtag, and now they're doing a second one called Spread Thy Wings. And they are going to be recording it in a studio in Nashville, Tennessee. And they have put a Kickstarter up. Now, the initial goal of $12,000 was just to rent the studio time and press the CDs. But they have various stretch goals. So they basically made that 12 grand in like the first couple of hours. It did insanely well. They are currently up to $27,923 with 24 days to go. So their final stretch goal is $35,000. And at that level, they're going to have a choir, and they're also going to have a live symphony orchestra from Nashville recording with them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if they get to the 35K level, it's going to be the album that they really want it to be. It's going to be very full and lush. And if you've heard Foxamore's compositions before, just imagine how awesome that is. On with having the full backing of an orchestra behind him.
Yeah.
Why are you playing audio from your
phone?
That's
not my phone. That's the cats.
Oh, okay.
The cats are making noise.
You were holding your phone and looking at it. I thought you were playing a video.
No.
So did I, and then I realized it's the cat.
No, that's the cats going in the background.
Okay.
I'm looking at my phone.
So scratch that. So anyway, you can go to Kickstarter.com and just do a search for Spread Thy Wings, or Savrin will again link it in the show notes.
Yeah, these guys are right at 28K-ish
as
of this recording with 24 days to go. So they should be able to hit 35, no problem.
But I figure a little extra push from us if any of our listeners want to go and help them out. And, you know, if you just give them a dollar, every little bit helps. And you can even pledge at that level.
You can.
But
$8 gets you the digital download of the song or the album.
Yeah, some of the beginning ones give you the digital download. Well, the dollar doesn't. The digital download is for $8. So for $8, bucks, you get the digital download. For $15, you get the CD, a special gift, which is not specified, and a digital copy of the album.
You get a lock of Pepper's beard hair.
I've pledged at the Platinum LP and CD bundle, which I thought this was cool. So I get the digital album, a signed version of the vinyl, because they've already hit their stretch goal to do a vinyl edition as well. That level gets you a mention in the CD booklet, a signed CD, a t-shirt, and the aforementioned special gift. I wonder if all of the... One of the ultra high level was actually a really cool idea. And I think there... Oh, no, they still have two left. Okay. So if you're rolling in money and you can afford to pledge $2,000 or more, you could get to actually be a special guest in the studio while they record it.
Hmm.
So you basically go to Ocean Way Studio in Nashville, Tennessee from Labor Day, Monday, September 3rd through Wednesday, September the 5th. You come into the studio with them. You watch and listen as the album comes together. You join them for dinner each night. The reward includes lodging, but it doesn't include travel. So you would have to cover your own travel there. But yeah, if you pledge $2,000, you can actually go into studio and see it recorded. I was sorely tempted to do this. You know why I'm not? I literally don't have enough fucking PTO from work to take the time off and go.
That is really cool, though. And yeah, I'll totally have to pledge that because
the only level higher than that, which was actually really cool, was for $3,000, where you also got an original character theme. Like, basically, you would work with the guys to figure it all out and everything, and they would basically write you a song, and it would be included on the album.
Yeah, so that's really cool.
So that one's already taken, but you can still pick up the other ones. Like I said, I'm getting the CD and the vinyl, which I'm looking forward to that. So
yeah,
they're friends of ours. Go and support them.
Shill, shill, shill.
Shill, shill, shill. Speaking of Pepper Coyote, I don't know if we discussed this in our Anthrocon recap, but you may have seen on Twitter there was this thing that happened at AC where, okay, so previous to AC, JasonFX, an artist who has had some very bad opinions on Twitter, had basically put out that All these people disagreeing with me are just little bitches, and they would never dare come up to me at a convention in real life and say that they disagree with me. So both he and Pepper were at Anthrocon, and Pepper put it out on Twitter like, hey, you said that no one would dare talk to you in real life about these issues. Well, I'm here and you're here. Let's meet up. And after some going back and forth on Twitter, they met up in the lobby of one of the hotels at AC. And while they didn't make like an official plan to have it recorded, they were in the lobby. They were surrounded by people. A couple people recorded it. So there's a link out there, which I will send to Saverin, so you can go and see and hear this conversation. There is also somebody transcribing it, because some parts are difficult to hear, because recording in busy hotel lobby. And that person is uploading it to YouTube with the transcription of it on there. So, you know, if you... Basically, Pepper called him out on his bullshit. Like, literally, the only thing he had to do was come up to him in real life and say, I disagree with you. So as far as I'm concerned, he did that. He won. But he also, like, basically sits there and has some very cogent arguments with him. So you can check out those links in the show notes. And is probably very interesting. So
yeah, and it was funny because I was like, oh, one more thing I need to mention was the article that you mentioned first.
Oh, okay.
Beat me to the punch.
When I started talking about it, I heard you go, ah.
Yeah, but That was good.
You know how I remembered? Talking to Tempo on Telegram right now.
Oh, yeah.
About one of his books.
We're plotting.
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I guess we are, because we're talking about a book.
Yeah.
Plot.
So, that's all I've got. Anything else, Shiva? We've got Siesta this weekend, but by the time this gets out there, it'll be over with.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that next weekend.
The only thing coming up soon is my birthday.
Yep.
Woo!
We're going to party hard. Well, we'll have a pool party where we get to make furry stew in my pool's pool.
At least we'll have access to, like, the... there's a decent amount of shade there between the umbrellas and everything else, and we can always escape.
Oh, yeah, and at certain times of day, all the oak trees really keep it nice and shaded in there. There's a reason it's called... Well, it's named that. Because yeah. Those apartments, there's
and
a lot of
those. And we also have the clubhouse rented.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be neat.
Well, and a pool party and cake.
And I'll have to inflict some of my baking on you guys, because I've been practicing. Because Great British Bake Off is still amazing. I love it. I want Mary Berry to tell me my bottoms are not soggy.
And then I'm thinking about making some of... I've got a couple of really good, like, homemade ice cream recipes that I was going to think about making. I do a really killer coffee one.
Ooh. So. Speaking of cooking shows, though, I've actually been watching Parts Unknown with Anthony Bourdain, and I feel incredibly sad that I did not discover this man's work until after he had died. But, like, watching this show, it's like, it's really cool, because he goes to all of these different places, a lot of places in the U.S., but also all over the world, and you really see a side of places that you don't often see. And he goes to, he'll go to big famous restaurants, he'll go to hole-in-the-wall restaurants, he'll eat street food, he'll do food trucks, and like all of his commentary and everything on it, on the places, on the food, meeting the locals is all very fascinating. And I've been really enjoying it. I've actually been, it's on Netflix right now. So if you have Netflix, you can watch it there. I've actually been putting it on my iPad and putting the iPad on a side table, and watching him while I cycle on my stationary bike. And that's been really a really good thing for me to kind of focus on while I exercise. So yeah, I also watching him has kind of prompted me to want to try different food, which my victim in doing that with me has been Saverin, who has been more than willing to accompany me. So last week we went to a Colombian restaurant, which is actually right next door to Mina's, in that shopping plaza there. There is also a it's a Jamaican place, right? That we want to try
the island spot.
Okay, I've been there, but I might have gone off. I've heard it was amazing. Mm-hmm. I went out off time and it was a little dry, but again, I was like the only one in there in like the middle of an afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be it. There's down the street from me. There's Inca's, which is Peruvian.
Uh huh. Oh, that was one of the places I mentioned.
But they are, so if you want to go, I will happily go with you. They're tasty. They're very, very tasty.
Let's absolutely do that. Yeah, we'll add that to the list. Also, Tieran ended up going with friends to the Canadian place.
Yeah.
I've heard that's really good.
Tieran didn't like it. You know, he said the poutine was good, but he said they fucked up a waffle. And he's like, how the fuck can you fuck up a waffle?
I need to go with Cadistra, who is our official Canadian.
Oh, get her take on it.
And she says that it is official poutine. So.
Yeah. But I would still like to try it.
Yeah. Well, so we just need to take the time to do it.
So, yeah, we've been doing this like once every week or two, basically.
Yeah. And the food we got at El Portil was really good.
Yeah.
And Adam really liked the big chunks of bacon fat, because I was like, eat the bit of bacon and be like, here you go, dog. And he was like, run off of this.
I ordered this thing that had bacon in it, and this was chunks like an inch thick.
Yeah, it was like chunk pork belly. Whatever he had, it was like the everything pork platter. Mm-hmm. So it was so like,
probably had like
chorizo and sausage and bacon and like some plantains, which are not bacon.
No, they're cousin to bananas.
Yes.
They're like, yeah, we'll throw something in here that's not made of bacon.
I got this thing that was like this massive pork fritter with, then I had like a salad and some rice and whatever. It was really good too.
So what I had was called picada.
Uh-huh.
And that was beef, franks, chorizo, bacon, yellow potatoes, arepa, plantains, and tomatoes.
Yep.
There's this thing that they have at Inca's, which is basically French fries for the base, and then they've got chunks of onion and bell pepper and chunks of beef, like about the size that would fit on a skewer. And they kind of serve it, and then they put it over the fries. And everything Peruvian apparently involves a fried egg, like a soft fried egg. I hope the mics can't pick up the damn cat.
What's wrong with your cats?
They're Siamese. They make noise. And it's really good. So, because everything is like marinated, and then a little bit will like get all the delicious juices end up on the fries. So,
That does sound good.
It is really good. There's a couple of different things that we've gotten there that we really like. So I'll happily go. Sarah will happily go. If we go on a Sunday, then Siam would happily go.
So basically, if we're very privileged in that we live in an area that has a massive, broad swath. Like, I want to go over to the Koreatown area over near Spa Castle, but Fuzz can't really come with us.
Yeah.
We could go to all the cute bakeries and shit. But we couldn't go to most of the restaurants because of all the soy.
Right, yeah.
But I'll go with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be like, yo, we're a couple of dudes. Well, you would have trouble because diabetic.
Yeah, I mean,
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just the little corner by that has the Daiso, there's at least three little bakeries right there.
Yeah.
And then there's like a crepe place, and then like ice cream roll place. Anyways, yes. There's all sorts of good food around here, and we're going to continue to try random things.
And they have a tiger mascot that says, they're crepe.
Yep. So, I think we're going to wrap it up now, because we're about an hour and a half into the recording, and it is near about 10 o'clock. It is, in fact, 10 o'clock. So, we're going to wrap it up now. You can find us on Twitter at South Podcast. You can find us on Telegram. They have a Telegram chat. I'll put the link in the show notes because it's always active. There's porn, there's discussion, all sorts of fun stuff. We've got our Patreon, patreon.com/South Podcast. You know, donate, get day early, or day plus early, plus higher bitrate, plus the extra content Fuzz and I record for Fox Wolf Movie Time. Next coming up is the Full Monty, our discussion on that. You can find me on Twitter at Savrin Drake. Find me on Twitch, just regular Savrin, just Savrin. I got a bunch of new video games. I picked up SteamWorld Dig. I actually got it for free, and it's actually a lot of fun. I'm probably going to stream that one. What about you, Fuzz?
You find me on Twitter at FuzzWolf. You can go to FurPlanet.com for my print books. You can go to BadDogBooks.com for ebooks. When I say my books, I don't just mean my books. I mean all the books that we've printed or distributed or be available at either of those two sites. And that's about it. If you're going to any cons anytime in the future, we'll be at Worldcon, Denver, Method Fur Meet, Alamo City Furry Invasion, and Midwest Fur Fest. So, you know, catch Fur Planet table at a convention, hopefully near you. And Shiva, where can they find you?
On my couch. really.
Wait, but I am the couch.
I'm on Twitter as Chimera, K-H-Y-M-A-E-R-A. I'm boring. I haven't been using it much. I'm the same thing on Telegram. Find me in the Southpaws chat. That's me and Savin are both in there. That's the primary place you'll find me these days. I haven't really done much social media for a long time now.
Yeah. Are you feeling good about that?
Yeah.
Social media is hell. Like, straight up, it's hell.
It's not like I decided to, like, quit it. It's just like...
You got busy?
Lost interest?
Yeah. I wish I would.
That, and I've got a lot of... I don't know. I got a lot of bandwidth just with local friends that, you know... All the local friends, and then trying to keep up with the wide world on social media is like, it gets very taxing.
Yeah, I might take a break or something. I keep saying that it might be time for a break, but I've got to like shill for my companies and stuff, so I have to at least keep that one active. But anyway, social media, woo? Question mark.
It's hell.
On that note, good night and
for the rich.